Upstairs to Children's Church. Upstairs. The upstairs. Oh, okay. Sorry. And adults, if you guys want to join them, go ahead. All right. So. Well, how's everyone doing? Good. And this week, there's a wonderful day coming on Thursday. What is it? Spring. Yes, spring. I think every one of us is waiting for that day, right? Waiting for the warm up and things begin to change. So I see everybody's wearing green today. Most people are. This morning I walked out to the kitchen and Kathy says, "You got a blue shirt on. Don't you have a green one?" So I went back, got the green one, and I came out again and she says, "Don't you have a green tie too?" So I was very obedient this morning and I figured after all the years that we've been married, I figured, well, I might as well obey once in a while, right? Today is actually, Kathy's going to be a little embarrassed, but today is our 40th anniversary today. So, there's no way I can forget it. It's a day that we always remember, so yeah, so 40 years. So, been a great journey. And we're just thankful that God has been with us all that journey, too, walked with. So we're going to look again at the importance of being a Christian. We're going to look this morning at belonging to the Lord. And last Sunday I had begun the series, and I asked, what is the meaning and importance and value of being a Christian? That's where we began. And I started with the idea that a Christian is a person reborn. And I pray that you discover that a Christian is a person reborn because in Christ you are a new creation. And you have a new life, for those of you who are here. We pass from death to life and from darkness to God's wondrous light. And also, too, we have a new loyalty to serve Christ, and He is Lord of all, of everything in our lives. And we're to follow Him. And so today I want to take a look at the words found in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, just two verses this morning. It says, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." These words actually challenge us. Considering the one phrase in here that says, "Don't you know you belong? You don't belong to yourself." Why is that? Well, because we've been bought with a high price. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ who died for us. And because of that, we belong to the Lord. We need to remember that and understand that every day of our lives. And belonging to the Lord has many meanings attached to it. And one meaning as Christians is we are God's special people. Now, some of us think we are special. Some of us think we are special. Everybody's kind of like starting to laugh a bit. But special, I went and looked up that word in the Bible and what does it mean and what different types of meanings come out of it. The word means something of value that we hold dear to ourselves. All of us have something that we hold dear. And so we are God's special people. God holds us close. We are special to Him. He has bought us with a price. Let's read 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. And we find these words. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So here we find in this passage, we are God's own special people. Did you notice how God describes us in this passage? He says that we are a chosen people. We've been chosen, set apart, We are a royal priesthood. We have access into God's throne room, into his presence. And we're to rule as priests, all of us. We are a holy nation. We are set apart to serve God. God has a purpose for us. And we are people belonging to God. And of course, we looked at that already. We're bought with a high price, the blood of Christ. And therefore, we are his special people. One thing we need to remember is those terms were once reserved for the nation of Israel, the physical nation of Israel. If we were to go back to the Old Testament, we will discover that God had chosen them out of every other nation. Chosen not because they were the best or whatever. He chose them, simply chose them. And they became his treasured possession to be a nation set apart to serve him and to show to the world who God was and is and how to approach him. God made them a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. We must remember that today was not just limited to them, but it's also to us today in Christ. And of course, we find that in Galatians chapter 3. And this is a promise that was given to Abraham, and Paul is explaining it a little more. He says, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles. The Gentiles are you and me, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. And all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So our union with Christ makes us spiritual children, and the promise of eternal salvation and blessings that were all given to Abraham are also given to us because we belong to Jesus Christ. We are heirs according to that promise, which is fulfilled in Christ. We're not the physical children of Israel, not unless you are Jewish. Then you can trace your lineage back, but we're not. But we have received the promise by coming to God in faith and by faith, becoming a spiritual child that belongs to God. And we as Christians are now God's own special people. And because we are God's special people, we have special responsibilities. All of us have responsibilities to do. And what responsibilities? Well, I chose a few. There's many of them in the Bible. I just chose, I believe, three of them in total. First one, and the first responsibility, is to declare the praises of God. All the promises given to us because we are God's special people carry with it the responsibility of declaring the praises of God to those who do not know Jesus Christ. In Slave Lake, how many of you live in Slave Lake? How about in Canuso? There's a few. Some of us in Whitewater. Some of us in Smith in the Hondo area. Yes, there's a couple of us here that do. We enjoy living out there, right? Yes. But all the areas that we live in, we have to proclaim God's praises. If you go back to 1 Peter 2:9, it says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So we are called out of the darkness into his light. Therefore, we also too are to go out and bring those from out of darkness into God's wonderful light. The word declare means to announce. It means to publish or advertise. Because the places where we live, the places we work, are in spiritual darkness. There's very few people who know Christ in the areas that we work. Think about it. Some places we can. We know who they are. But very few. But they need to know the praises of God. And they should hear them and see them in our lives every moment that we interact with them. Every Christian is a living advertisement for God, and our lives should declare the wonderful light into which God has gloriously and graciously called us into. And this word, declare, actually means someone who actually carries a billboard. You know those ones that you fold, put in front of you, and it says, eat at Joe's? And it gives you the specials for the day. And you go around and hand out all the menus and so people can come into the store. That's what this word means. We are to declare his praises, letting people know that God loves them and died for them. I just want to read 1 Peter 2:10. It says, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We need to declare that to the people we come to, that God is a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of grace. And so today, when you leave, declare God's praises wherever you go and throughout the week, wherever you are. The second responsibility is to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We always tell our kids to grow up, didn't we? Some of us, grow up, grow up. Ever met somebody who's older and never growing up? Okay, some of us are, okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm just gonna, you too? Okay, so the few of us are kind of those ones that didn't want to grow up, right? That's about it, right? But we need to grow. We need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1. And we find these words. For if you possess these qualities, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. You noticed that we have to grow spiritually so that we're not ineffective and we're not unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you do not have them, you are nearsighted and blind and have forgotten that you've been cleansed from your past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, we are to grow spiritually. And God's word gives us three evidence of spiritual growth, and there are actually a few more. But I looked at this one. I found these three I want to talk to you about. First evidence, there's fruitfulness. One of the things I learned growing up on the farm, some of us grew up on small farms and where we could grow fruit trees. And when one of the apple trees didn't produce for a year or so, you know what we did? We got the scissors, the prunes out and the saws out, and we just trimmed it right down. It's just like a knobby little, scabby little tree in the yard. But the next year, we had fruit on it. Lots of it. And sometimes it didn't produce any fruit, so we took them right out because we knew they were dead inside. And a few times, too, that we wanted more fruit and more juicier fruit, sometimes we found, too, from someone, an older fellow, we actually chopped the trunk of the tree so the tree would produce more sugar. So we did different ways to produce fruit on our trees. If we are not growing, we are ineffective and unproductive, as we read in 1 Peter there. Our desire should be to produce fruit in our lives, such as love, such as joy, such as peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We know this is all the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5. Those are supposed to be evident in our lives. The passage we just read spoke of knowledge and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness. And we do all this for God's glory. And this ought to be our aim in living the Christian life. And the key to fruitfulness is to abide in Christ and to allow him to abide in us. And of course, we find that in John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Second evidence there is vision. One of the dangers of failing to grow spiritually is we become nearsighted and blind. We may not be spiritually blind, but you know there are times that we actually close our eyes and deliberately close them to the needs of those around us. It's hard to say, though, but some of us do. In fact, there's even some Christians who live only for this life, who live for the pleasures of the present moment. If you're a Christian, you should be someone who continually looks to God and seek to declare His praises in all that we do. In fact, that Christians that close their eyes, that have a problem with their vision, fail to look forward to see what God has in store for them. They only look at the moment. As Christians, we should look forward to what God is going to be giving to us. And we seem to forget what we've been saved from as well. God wants His people, you and I, to open our eyes to what He has in store for us. What is ahead? He wants us to live godly lives in a world that's gone crazy. And third evidence, there is security. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever done this, but you probably have. As a kid, pin the tail on the donkey. Some of us who are older remember that one. We used to blindfold them and then used to spin them around and let them go. What usually happened? Did they actually make the target? No, they either fell down or they made funny movements and we thought it was pretty funny, right? But when we think about it in the spiritual life, that's pretty dangerous. Pretty dangerous because we can fall. But when we're growing spiritually and Jesus is front and center in our lives, He's going to guide us. And that gives us security that we can walk every day knowing that we're not going to fall because He is there walking with us. We're living by faith. Yes, we are special people. We belong to the Lord, and we can rejoice in knowing that God loves us dearly and He has called us to be His very own people. So today, declare His praises. Be secure to know that He's looking after you. Have eyes that see into the future what God has in store for you as well. Now, another meaning is that we realize that we are also God's beloved children. We are blessed to be children of God. In one sense, all people are God's children. However, in redemptive terms, God is the Father only to those who are in Christ. And we are His children only by adoption, grace, mercy, and love. Yet in creation terms, God is the Father of all. And all are His offspring, His creatures, receiving their life from Him. That's what Acts says to us. Acts 17 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He gave Himself to all people, life and breath, and everything else. For in Him we live and move and have our being. He commands all people everywhere to repent." And today, we know many people who do not have God as their Heavenly Father. Only Christ can set them free from their spiritual bondage and darkness. Yet God cares for them still. He still gives them physical life. He gives them the needs that they lived for every day. But they need to be set free. They need to accept Jesus Christ by faith and receive eternal life. And the only way they're going to know it is if you and I declare that Jesus is Lord of all and He is Savior. Question is, what does your conduct reveal about your new birth? Can others see Christ in you because you're acting like Him, following Him, spending time with Him? And Christians are children of God in a couple ways. We are God's children because of faith. We are called children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We who have been united with Christ have been made like Him. And because we are God's children, we are clothed with the life of Christ. And we should bring honor to His name by the way we live. Being united with Christ, we should live like Christ, blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, as lights in the world. We're to be a light in the world that we live in. And one thing you need to realize about light, especially around this area in the summer, what happens when you leave the light on at night? It attracts all kinds of bugs. when you're the light of the world, you're going to attract some very interesting people. But God has a reason for that. That's because He wants that person to come to know Him as their Savior. So remember that. When you're the light, you're going to attract all kinds of people. And God has a reason for it. And be open to it. The second, we're God's children because we have been redeemed. And I was putting this together, and this morning I woke up around 5 o'clock with this little song that we used to sing many years ago. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved and sanctified am I. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. We've been redeemed that we may receive the full rights as sons and daughters. And because we are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of a Son into our hearts. When God sent His Son Jesus, He provided the guarantee that we would receive full and complete adoption as sons and daughters. Now, adoption refers to a family or a person who adopts a child that is not theirs into their home and makes that child theirs with all the privileges that comes with that family, and some for tremendous good. In fact, in the Roman world, when Paul wrote this letter, it was an honored custom. And that gave special dignity and family membership to those who were not born into the family. Only often a wealthy or childless man that had no children or just had all daughters would actually adopt a young slave and bring them into the home. And so the slave would trade their slavery for sonship with all its privileges that would come with it. And that's exactly what happened to us. There was a time when we were slaves to sin, and then one day we met Jesus, and we turned from our slavery to sin to His wonderful light and all the privileges that come with it. And we became His son and His daughters. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. Third, we're children because we do the Father's will. And we find that in Matthew 12. Jesus asked, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then He pointed to His disciples and said, "These are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and my mother." Pretty powerful words, eh? Pretty powerful words. He considers us His children when we follow Him and do the Father's will. As Christians, our lives should be touched by this expression of God's love for us. And also, as God's children, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You find this in Galatians 4, chapter 7. "Now you are no longer a slave to the spiritual powers of this world, but God's own child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir." Then in Romans 8, it says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we might share also in His glory." So a Christian is an heir. Isn't that interesting and neat? What an awesome truth that by giving ourselves to Christ in faith, God gives everything His Son possesses. Where does Christ sit today? At the Father's right hand. And where do you sit today? Well, today you're sitting here physically, right? But did you know that spiritually you also are sitting in heaven at Christ's right hand? Wow. Everything that He possesses, everything that the Father has given to Jesus, Jesus has given to us. What a tremendous inheritance. What a tremendous inheritance. And that inheritance is kept in heaven. It's priceless. It's pure. It's undefiled. It's beyond the reach of change and decay. It's not going to fade away. God's looking after it. And now as heirs, we have many responsibilities. Declaring His praise, walking with Him. Colossians chapter 1 says, "May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father, who has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people who live in the light." So are you giving thanks to God for the inheritance that he's given to you? Salvation that he's given to you? We share this inheritance by the way of our new birth. There's also another responsibility. I haven't put it up there. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And we find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence to God. Christians are to live a different life. We're to be strangers. We're odd. So our desire is to declare God's praises. And as God's child, we're also God's heavenly pilgrim. We're in the world, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. As Jesus mentioned in his prayer in John 17, Jesus said, I am not asking you, that is the Father, to take them out of the world. Listen carefully. Some of us wish the moment we were saved, God did take us out. Didn't have to deal with all the stuff we had to deal with. But Jesus says, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They're not part of this world any more than I am not. Like I said, Jesus did not ask God to remove us from this world. He asked that he would keep us safe through all the stuff that we're going to go through in our walk with him. And we as Christians, as pilgrims, in Hebrews 13, says that for this world is not our home. We're looking forward to a city in heaven which is yet to come. A city which God has designed and built. Boy, as somebody who builds houses, could you imagine what this place is going to look like? Everything's going to work perfectly. And because we are pilgrims, while we journey here in this life, we must realize that any earthly dwelling we are building will not last. It will not survive. How many of you are looking forward to that day when you go home and be with God and he has a place for you? Perfect. A perfect place to live. I think one of the most exciting thing for me when I think about heaven is that I'm going to be with Jesus. Our true citizenship lies in heaven, not here on earth. We find that in Philippians. It says, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. See, we're not to get too attached to this world. And we heard yesterday at the men's breakfast, and it really struck me when it was spoken, that we should live very simple lives. Simple lives, not so burdened down with worldly things. And when we become burdened down, God can't use us. He can't send us. We need to live in the light that our home is in heaven. And as pilgrims, we have several obligations. And I'm going to go through these. The first obligation is to conduct our pilgrimage on earth with reverent fear. 1 Peter 1:17 says, since you call on your Father who judges each person's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Second obligation is to abstain from evil desires. 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. So we're to abstain. Third obligation is to keep our conduct honorable, filled with good works. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And the fourth one, to obey the laws. Respect our leaders and government while we journey here. That's a tough one, isn't it? I heard from a friend that there's a bumper sticker out there somewhere. Now, if you find it, let me know. And if you can actually buy one, get one. I'm going to read what it says, all right? Because this deals with government. It says, pray for Justin Trudeau. And then at the very back of it says, Psalms 109, verse 8. Do you know what that says? May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. There you go. We can pray for them, our leaders, right? That's isn't that pretty good, eh? So, yeah. Psalms, yeah. So if you find that bumper sticker, let me know and I can go get one, all right? Stick it on my car. Anyways, 1 Peter 2 says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as a superior authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that we, by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Let us live as free men and women. Live as free men and women, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the King. So as pilgrims, we are to do everything for the glory of God and for the praise of God and for the good of His kingdom. We're also to pray for our leaders, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're to obey them, even if it rubs us the wrong way. I know yesterday we talked about it a bit, and some guys were getting a little angry. So, but we've got to pray for our leaders. Well, I'm going to close. I hope you have seen that as a Christian, you are a person who belongs to the Lord because you are God's special person. And yet you are God's child, and you are God's pilgrim. How do pilgrims live? Very few belongings, just enough to live by. The more we understand the importance of such privileges, the more we be filled with God's glory and God's praise that we can declare. And are you living and conducting yourself every day as one who belongs to the Lord? Are you? Are you acting like a special person? Do you live like a child of God? Do you live? Is your life a true pilgrimage? Or are you living like you want to make this world your permanent home? Let's just read the verses again that we started with. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have been redeemed from God? You're not your own, you're bought with at a high price, therefore honor God with your body. So, may the importance of belonging to the Lord promote us to always glorify and praise God in our everyday lives, wherever we are and wherever we go, no matter where. Let us be the light that God has called us to. Let's be His children today and tomorrow and then throughout our journey. So let's pray. Father, I know there's a lot more that can be said about belonging to you. Father, my prayer is just that this very brief sermon this morning, that every one of us caught a glimpse, that we are your people, that you're giving us tremendous responsibilities to declare your praises and to live for you. And that when then we live as pilgrims, realizing that our home is with you, not here. Father, we are so blessed. So blessed. So be with each one of us now, Father, as we go, that we will declare your praises wherever we go and wherever you send us. In thy name, amen. And